want to give a big shout out to Prism Designs. Aaron at Prism does a really good job. And if you listen to any of our recent podcasts, you probably heard that Aaron does the graphics for, or has done the graphics for my bike, along with most of the bikes, or most of the million bikes it seems like Dean has. So all those turned out really great, and I think they turned out better than both of us thought, honestly. And like, not only do his graphics look really sick, but the quality of those graphics are really, really good, top notch for sure. And I know there's a lot of graphic companies out there that are on Instagram and everything that look really badass. They look really pretty, but you get them in the mail and they start peeling off your bike and shit, and they piss you off. And that's not the case at all with those graphics over at Prism. They stick on your bike really good. They look sexy. They look top notch. And you should definitely check them out. If you want to go check them out, look them up on Instagram at Prism Designs underscore company. And their link, their website is right there in their bio. Do it. And I also want to give a shout out to Prime MX. They make MX-inspired abrasive wheels, apparel, and custom parts that are available worldwide. And not only that, but they make some pretty badass YouTube videos. Cameron over there at Prime makes a lot of really sick bike build videos that are definitely worth checking out. So after you're done tuning into this podcast, I definitely recommend that you go over to their YouTube and hit that subscribe button along with ours and watch some of their bike build videos because they're badass. And then you should go over to their Instagram and check them out. And they're on there on Instagram at PrimeMX, and that is PrymeMX. Check them out. And then their link to their website is right there in their bio. Do it. Hey, what's happening, guys? Ezra here. Welcome to episode 19 of the Moto 247 show. And I'll be rocking this thing solo here tonight, talking about all the craziness that's happened throughout the first six rounds of the 2021 Supercross season. Okay, so before I talk about the 250 action, I want to talk about the track layout situation. And I believe everyone was a little bit curious going into the season before they released the track maps of how different the tracks are going to be with the quick turnarounds. Obviously, with them going from Saturday night to Tuesday night, the tracks were going to be a little bit similar. But I think everyone's a little bit curious, but I didn't think it was going to be this much of not really an issue, but this much different, I guess I can put it as. Because if you go from Houston 1, which was a super tight track, but it was kind of like your traditional Supercross style track, then you go on Houston 2, and that track was super fast. And I don't think we have seen a track that fast in forever. And actually, talking about that, when I was looking up videos to watch for our throwback podcast a month or two ago, I was watching some battles with Bubba and Ricky. I think it was like around 07 or so. And I was thinking to myself, man, those tracks are super fast, and I'm glad we don't have those style tracks today, because those tracks were just insanely fast. And it kind of reminds me of those European off-season races that we see our guys, or the US guys, race at. And yeah, man, like, I thought the tracks were gonna be similar, but not that crazy and different. But glad going from Houston 2, and kind of fast forwarding a couple weeks here to Indy 3 that just wrapped up tonight, actually recording this right after Indy 3. And yeah, major props to the Dirtworks crew, just in general, from being able to turn around from those Saturday night races going into those Tuesday night races, because it has to be so hard on those guys, and those guys have to be putting in a lot of hours to be able to change the tracks. Even, like, I know they aren't changing them that much, but still, it has to be a lot of work for those guys getting it ready for Tuesday. So yeah, props to them on that. But major props for changing the track in Indy tonight for Indy 3. And in my opinion, I think Indy 3 was the best track layout we've seen this year so far throughout the first six rounds, and more of a traditional Supercross style track. And it kind of reminded me of Detroit 2014, I believe. Remember Bubba won that race? It was a good one. And it also reminded me of East Rutherford. I think it was like a 2019. Yeah, East Rutherford 2019, I believe. Yeah, anyways, it was more of a Supercross, traditional Supercross style track. And I just want to give a big shout out to Dirtworks for doing everything that they do and making those quick turnarounds so those guys can go out and race every week. And especially going into Indy 3, because they really changed a lot on that track from Indy 2. So anyways, dived into the 250 East class. And first off, before we talk about the racing, I want to talk about how normally A couple weeks prior to the season, everyone announces, hey, I'm doing West Coast, I'm doing East Coast, blah, 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 whatever. But this year, no one knew anything. And at the last minute, it seemed like everyone started posting what they're doing. And man, the 250 East, there's no one in there. Like, there's a lot of fast guys for sure. You got Hampshire, Faulkner, Lawrence, Craig, Nichols. Those guys are fast. But after that, it really drops off. And there's a few guys after them. But then, like, it really drops off. And no disrespect to those guys mid-pack. But normally, like, it's way more stacked. And I feel bad for the guys in the 250 West because that coast is going to be so stacked. And getting back to the 250 East with who's out. I think there's four guys out now. There's Hampshire's out, Faulkner's out, Volin's out, and Michael Mosman just got hurt today at Indy 3 in one of the practice or qualifying sessions. It really sucks for him because he was really looking good. Had the issue last week with the lapper, Max Miller. And unfortunate for him because Mosman was looking really good. So with those guys out, it's kind of been wide open. And if you notice in the heat races, and especially in the main events, there's a big drop-off. And they lapped up the, I think, fifth place Tuesday night. And I'm not sure what they did tonight at Indy 3. But, yeah, it's been crazy to say the least. And going into the season, I don't think too many people had Colt Nichols winning multiple races. And even with those guys hurt, with Lawrence being out there and with Craig being out there, I don't think many people would have picked him to be the favorite. But, yeah, shout out to him because he's riding good. Not only – and not like he's winning because all those guys are hurt and he's not looking good. But, man, he is looking good except for tonight. Indy 3 had that mishap tonight. But overall, Colt Nichols is looking really strong and just hoping that Christian Craig can kind of make a late championship charge, however many rounds. What's there, like four rounds left or so? Or that was round six tonight, so what's there, like three rounds now? Three or four rounds left. So hopefully Christian Craig can make a late championship charge and catch Colt Nichols. And going back to Houston, Craig came out swinging, looked really good, and Faulkner just had issue after issue. He got hurt. Hampshire got hurt, like I said a couple minutes ago in the podcast. Volin got hurt and Mosman, so kind of left the door wide open. And so I guess talking about the guys that are up there right now, and Nichols look good, but Craig has kind of been weird to watch because he's looking, he's coming out swinging in some races, and in some races you kind of expect more of him. And it stinks that he's not up there as much and battling with Colt Nichols there, but made up some points tonight. So hopefully, you know, I give him some motivation to try to get that red plate back. But I want to talk about Joe Shimoda. Man, he's been looking really good and consistent and getting, I think he got second tonight, obviously with everyone hurt and with Colt Nichols and Jet Lawrence being at the back of the pack early on in the race, led him to get second, but he still looked really good. Yeah, he just looked really smooth on that bike. And Jet Lawrence has been crazy this year to watch. I've been rooting for him, and he's showing some, you know, bright flashes of speed, but just been, you know, all over crashing. And tonight, I feel like he rode really good, though, even though he didn't have that crazy raw speed that he's had. You know, he didn't crash, so, you know, I have to give it to him there, nursing that shoulder injury, and kept it on two wheels tonight, and unfortunately had some bad luck again. He's having a lot of bad luck this year. Had that issue with the lapper going over the finish line, causing him to go off the track around that berm. I think that was in the last 2 minutes of that main, and allowed Colt allowed Colt Nichols to pull away and Mitchell Oldenburg to pass him. And heck, I totally forgot about that. I want to talk about the Mitchell Oldenburg incident from last Tuesday. That was so crazy, and it's, I didn't think that would be like more of a real life Supercross issue because I was running that Moto 247 Supercross the Game 3 championship, and we ran into those issues with that game had a bunch of glitches and stuff where guys' laps weren't getting counted or they got kicked from the races. So it's like, what do you do? And AMA ran into that same situation last week, or I guess earlier this week, I should say. And Man, I was so confused at the beginning because obviously he had that big get off in the heat, so he couldn't finish the heat. And if you guys don't know, you can look at Mitchell Oldenburg's Instagram. He explained it everything in like a 4 or 5 minute video on it. I guess to sum it up, he crashed out of the heat and they had to do a motor swap, and they swapped the motor and Mitchell Oldenburg went down to the line without his bike, hoping obviously that his bike would get to him before the gate dropped for the LCQ, and it did like 2 minutes before the gate dropped. They got it, in the gate on time, but the AMA said, "Hey, you can't, you can't race," pretty much, because they thought he is, they pulled out another bike, which is obviously illegal, and I guess they argued or whatever, and he couldn't race. But somehow within that quick turnaround from the LCQ to the 250 main event, they brought an AMA guy back to the team rig and showed him, "Hey, we don't have another bike here. This is what we did." I think it was Mitchell Oldenburg's girlfriend had a video of the mechanics motor swapping that thing, and they showed him the video, and they're like, "Yeah, we don't have another bike. Here's the video." Like, what the hell? And then I think that's where the AMA guys are like, "Shit, we messed up." So they're like, they kind of did it arena cross style, because they're like, "Okay, so I guess we'll put you in the main event," which I find that really weird. I believe he deserved to be in the main event, but I just found it really weird how they did that. It just makes no sense, but because he did get screwed in LCQ, I believe he deserved to be in there, but it was just so weird. So he was gonna be on the second row, like arena cross style, but Jet Lawrence raced the LCQ and won it after that crazy crash in the heat race that took him out of that. And so he won the LCQ. He lined up. He was actually on the line of that 250 main event, and he ended up pulling the plug on that, allowing Mitchell Oldenburg to fill the spot. So Mitchell Oldenburg wasn't in the second row, and he was the 22nd man, which they were going to run a 23 man main event. And I don't know when the last time that's been done. It's I know that I think that's happened. I know years and years ago, decades ago, that they ran more guys in the gate, but yeah, that's some big gray area that they had that I think everyone's confused about. It's kind of weird seeing the comments on social media. Obviously, there's always going to be haters or whatever in social media, but everyone's like, "What the hell?" That none of that makes no sense, because yeah, he deserved to be in there, but definitely really weird how that happened, how they just gave him a main event spot. So, which sucked, I guess, to wrap this whole thing up with Oldenburg. So he did get into the main event and end up, I think he was running up pretty good. I forgot exactly where he was running, but he was doing pretty good, I think. And he had another bike malfunction in the main event and allowed him to, or forced him to the DNF the race, and it really sucked for him. But yeah, at least he was somehow able to, have the luck to be able to get in the main event after AMA screwing him in the LCQ. But anyways, talking about, I think, where did I left off? I left off at Houston. Yeah, Christian Craig looked good to wrap up the Houston talk. He looked really good, came out swinging. And I'm like, holy crap, after the first one, I thought he's gonna be a title contender, even with, well, he still is, I guess, but 6 points out going in the round seven. But I thought he's gonna be up there more. And Colt Nichols really surprised me. He's been pulling away lately, so. Yeah, I guess to wrap up Houston, he's been looking really good. And I know there's no one in the 250s class, but Craig's looking pretty good. Just hopefully in the next couple rounds he can make up some ground on Colt Nichols, because he's only 6 points down, and it drops down to, I think, Lawrence is in third. And don't quote me on this, I may be wrong, but I think he's third. I don't have the numbers in front of me. He's third, 24 points down from Nichols. So unless something crazy happens here in the next couple weeks, or I guess into May in the final round, looks like a Star Racing Yamaha will at least get one championship here in the Supercross season. And as of right now, Colt Nichols is looking like the guy to beat, and I'm definitely surprised. Even with the field that's racing right now, the riders in the field, I wouldn't have picked him up there. To be riding as good and as dominant as he is right now, and just a big shout out to him. He's looking really good, except for tonight. Had that get off. He had another great start. It looked like it was gonna be another one where he just checked out and pulled away, and because Lawrence got a bad start. And but even though with Craig being there, I thought Nichols was gonna pull away, but he had that get off on the first lap there, taking him down to, I think he was like in dead last, right around there. Yeah, damn near last if he wasn't in last, and playing catch up. But one good thing for Nichols there was going back to this again. But there's no one in the 250 East, so even with the shorter main events for the 250 class, the 15-minute main events, he still got up to the top five pretty quick, and was battling with Jet Lawrence there for the longest time ever. And then they caught up to Oldenburg somehow, and I didn't think they were going to catch up to Mitchell Oldenburg tonight. I think they were like 10 seconds down when Colt Nichols and Jet Lawrence were battling and slowing each other up. But yeah, they caught up to Oldenburg, and they had the issue with the lapped rider, forcing Jet Lawrence to go off the berm or go around the berm, and allowing Colt Nichols to pull away and Oldenburg to get back around him. And yeah, just to wrap up the 250 class, yeah, Jet Lawrence I thought was going to be more of a threat, but this year he's shown that he's incredibly freaking fast, but he just needs to stay off the ground. So hopefully he can kind of carry over that kind of style of racing that he's having, that he had tonight, into the future rounds, because tonight he didn't look the fastest for sure, but he just looked really smooth and he did not fall. So yeah, give props to him there. But yeah, Colt Nichols is looking really good, and it's looking like he's gonna get that championship. And you know, another missed opportunity for Austin Faulkner. Heck, what's this, his fourth year in Supercross, and going in, him and Chase Sexton going in. I think Faulkner went in the outdoor season, and Sexton made his pro debut, I believe, in following Supercross season, so pretty much at the same time, you know. And I think everyone would have predicted Faulkner to be at a factory. Like, ask anyone back then, they'd be like, yeah, it'd be Faulkner with the factory 450 ride right now. He'd probably have a couple 250 Supercross championships under his belt. But no, I mean, Sexton's been looking really good. And yeah, Faulkner, just another missed opportunity. Every year he's been blazing fast, just like Jet Lawrence. Like, him and Lawrence are so similar, where they're looking like they're gonna win. And you expect when you pull up Instagram on your phone, and during time qualifying, expect to see a video of one of those guys crashing. So really unfortunate for both of those guys, but luckily Jet Lawrence was back here tonight at Indy 3, and looking like he can still run up front there, and hopefully with a little bit of a break going into Orlando. I believe they got one round in Orlando, then they get their break as the 250 West guys get going. And with that 1 week break, hopefully he can heal up a little bit more and come out swinging in Orlando and make up some points at Colt Nichols, because it's kind of far fetched right now, but he's 24 points down, I believe. So it's going to be a long, hard journey for him to try to catch up. But definitely he needs a lot of luck on his side. But yeah, as of right now, to wrap up this whole 250 segment, Colt Nichols is looking like the man to beat. So, going into the 450 class here, craziness. I just want to start off with talking about the Anaheim 1 video that Justin Barshaw and the Troy Lee Designs Red Bull Gas Gas team made. I was watching that, and the co-host on the show, Dean, was saying, it's like, holy crap, like their photo editing or Photoshop skills and editing skills for that video was insane. And then, if you guys didn't know, they actually rented out Anaheim Stadium to film some of those videos there, and they actually used a freestyle ramp for the finish line there. It's kind of funny. But as I was watching that, I'm like, that's a lot of pressure on Justin, because Justin's gonna have to come out swinging in Houston 1 after all that hype they put on him. And obviously, I know they're joking around, but you know, like, they, you know, put out a lot of hype and probably paid some money to, you know, to make all those videos. But Sure as hell, Justin Barsha backed that up and looked really good. And all I can say is he's looking like a different Justin Barsha, looking more like an old school Justin Barsha that we saw on Geico Honda. And he's just kind of been off the last couple of years. And even last year, he was looking like a little bit more like himself and putting in some good rides for sure. But on this GasGas, he's looking like a whole new rider. And from a couple of interviews I saw, he's saying nothing but good things about that bike and how he can do things on that bike that he couldn't do on the Yamaha 450. So really cool to see him get back to that more aggressive Bam Bam mentality there in Supercross. And talking about Bam Bam mentality, fast forward again. Sorry, I know I'm all over here, but fast forward to Indy 3, made that big that aggressive move on Kenny tonight. I thought both of them were gonna go down there tonight, but bad luck for Justin. But I guess I'll cover that in a second once I get to Indy 3. But anyways, yeah, Justin Barsha looked really good. But was it in, I think it was in Houston too. So he came out swinging. Houston too. Everyone's like, what the hell's wrong with Barsha? Obviously, if you follow the sport, you know he broke his shifter there, and he somehow he's stuck in first gear. And I think he got like right around the top 10 there, if not 10th, or if not 10th, around the top 10. And somehow he still pulled that off. If you look at the field, the whole main event's freaking stacked. So somehow he was able to pull off a 10th there. And even the races following Houston too, he's been looking really good. And definitely looking like he's going to be more up there. They're up there more often than the front of the pack, so really cool to see that out of Barsha. And talking about Tomac, or getting on the Tomac here, I feel like ever since he's been on that newer style Kawasaki 450, he's been looking off. I remember, I think it was his first race was at MX of Nations at Redbud that I went to, and he just looked the whole US team looked off, but he just didn't look like himself out there. And even though he won the Supercross championship last year, I don't know. He just doesn't look like his normal Eli Tomac self of kind of that badass that can charge through the pack. And I know with the field being so stacked, that has a lot to do with it. But even like, there's been a couple instances this year. Man, it's late. Tongue twisters here. Yes. Where he's been, like he caught up, he's with Webb or whoever it is at the time, and he's just been stuck behind them. And even Barsha, a couple rounds ago, he was caught behind Barsha for a while. I think he even passed them, then Barsha ended up passing him back or whatever. And he's just looking off this year, I feel like, and not like his normal self. So I feel like a lot of people were back on the Eli Tomac hype train after he won the Supercross championship in 2020. Saying how he's gonna come out this year swinging, but yeah, ever since he's been on that bike, he's just looked off. So hopefully, like I'm a big ET3 fan, hopefully he can, be up there more often and battle it out with Kenny because he's losing points, and especially tonight. Tonight sucked. Vince Freese causing another issue last week or earlier this week, Tuesday. Ken Roczen ran into him somehow when they're lapping Freese. Or when he was lapping Freezy, and Vince Freezy again, he's a lapper, and he jumped right into the side of Justin Barsha going down, Eli Tomac landing on Barsha's bike and going down as well. So Vince Freezy causing more issues here. I just find it funny. He seems like he's always in the drama there, but yeah, Tomac's been off. I'm not talking crap. It's the truth, and hopefully he can put in some stronger rides. And it seems like every week his starts are crap, but this week here in Indy 3 it wasn't too bad. I thought he's gonna, even with him being off, I thought he's gonna catch up more and pass Webb and get up there in a second, catch up and hopefully battle with Kenny tonight. But Kenny has been on another level here pretty much the whole first six rounds. And even with the AMA docking him for jumping on that red cross flag, yeah, that really sucks, the whole that whole deal with that. But yeah, even with that, he's looking really good and has that red plate going in the round seven. And I feel like everyone's rooting on Kenny right now, and really pumped to see him running up there and getting these main event wins after all the freaking hell he's been through. He's been through so much hell in the last few years. And if you go back to his first year on Honda, whenever that was it the year he got hurt, obviously? 2017, I think it was. 2016? 2017, I think it was. Anyways, he looked like he was on another level, like, insanely fast. Like, we're going to see someone almost, you know, sweep every round pretty much, you know, type of speed. And obviously getting hurt and going through all the hell he's been through. And then he crashed that year he came back with Webb and got his arm caught, his other arm caught in the swing arm. And obviously it wasn't as bad as his first arm, but still another gnarly injury. And it just seems like he keeps on getting screwed and he keeps on getting back up and fighting. And this year, man, he's looking really good. Like last year, he put in some good rides, but this year he's looking really strong on the new Honda 450 and just looking really good. And obviously right now he has that points lead and he's looking like the guy to beat for sure. Really, I don't see anyone. Like, I can see obviously some different winners this year, but I don't see anyone that is really going to give him a run for the money, a run for his money in the championship. And thinking about the championship, Cooper Webb, I think, is only 6 points down, I believe, going into round seven. And I need to pull those points up. I don't know if they updated that. I can look here. And Indy 3 just got over with, so I don't know if they updated that in time. I'll pull those up here. But anyways, yeah, Cooper Webb has kind of been a wild card this year because he's kind of been out of it, but he's like quietly been putting in some good rides where he's not getting screwed in the championship point standings with him being, you know, under 10 points down from Roczen. So he's still really close to Roczen, one slip up from Roczen, getting like third or fourth, and Cooper Webb can be right there in the fight with what do we have, like 11 rounds to go. So still a lot of racing to go. And I'll be right back in 45 seconds after this commercial break. And I also want to give a shout out to Prime MX. They make MX-inspired abrasive wheels, apparel, and custom parts that are available worldwide. And not only that, but they make some pretty badass YouTube videos. Cameron over there at Prime makes a lot of really sick bike build videos that are definitely worth checking out. So after you're done tuning into this podcast, I definitely recommend that you go over to their YouTube and hit that subscribe button along with ours and watch some of their bike build videos because they're badass. Then you should go over to their Instagram and check them out. And they're on there on Instagram at PrimeMX, and that is PrimeMX. Check them out. And then to their link to their website is right there in their bio. Do it. Yeah, so with them traveling more, I thought more riders are going to get the coronavirus and be forced to sit out in quarantine. And if that's, heck, even if they say, you tested positive today, you have to sit out a week. Let's say a week. Like, it's probably 2 weeks, I think. It might be 1 week. But let's say 1 week. You're possibly getting screwed out of 1 to 2 rounds. And that's going to suck. Even, like, everything can be going your way. You can have a 19-point lead in the championship or, heck, no matter where you are. And if you're forced to set out 1 or 2 rounds, you're going to lose a shit ton of points, and it's going to really screw you. And that's something I really thought about before the season, and thankfully it hasn't been too much of an issue here throughout the first 6 rounds, and hopefully it won't be. Okay, so wrapping up the podcast here with my prediction for Orlando 1, and this is really going to help out. This week break is really going to help out Jet Lawrence for sure, and heal up, and hopefully he'll come out a little bit more faster in Orlando. But I think Cole Nichols is going to get it done again. Like, I really want Christian Craig to get up there and battle it out with Cole, but I really can't go away from Cole Nichols. He's looking really strong, looking really smooth, looking really consistent, and even tonight, after all the issues, or the issue he had in the first lap, he looked really good. And I talked about it earlier, but even with there's no one in the 250s class, but still his riding, they showed him a lot. Now, during the broadcast, he looked looked really good, caught up to Lawrence, and looked really good battling out with him. So I can't go away from picking Cole Nichols. And moving on to the 450 class, I'm gonna go with the obvious choice, I think, here would be Ken Roczen, because the same as Cole Nichols, he's looking really strong, looking really smooth, looking really consistent, and he's shown he's had pretty good luck besides that the incident with that lapper with Cooper Webb, but he's just looking like he's kind of more of that old school Roczen that we saw before his arm injury in 2017. He has that I guess that raw speed or whatever. He's just looking really smooth and comfortable on that bike from what I'm seeing, and I feel like he's gonna come out in Orlando looking really good and putting in another good race, and hopefully, I feel like we say this every year, it's like a broken record. Eli Tomac, can he get a better start next week? Can he better can he get a better start next week? Like everyone says that. I'm so tired of hearing that. But man, I'm gonna say that again. Hopefully he can get a better start next week, because he's down definitely after that incident with Barcia and Freezy there. He's down in the points, and I really want Ken Roczen to win, and I really, or my pick is Roczen to win, but hopefully the championship will be tight and a really good battle for both the 250 classes and the 450 class. And so yeah, there you have it. My pick is two. Or the 250 East class, Colt Nichols, and in the 450 class, it is Ken Roczen, and I have to remember to put my picks in the Rocky Mountain Fantasy League this year. Oh, this tonight and Indy, totally forgot about that. So, anyways, thank you guys for tuning in. Definitely a late night recording this podcast here, but felt like I definitely should have. Got a podcast going sooner, but anyways, it's been six races have happened since our last podcast, so I'm like, screw it. It's midnight right now, but I wanted to get a podcast in talking about the first six rounds, and hopefully for the next one we'll have Dean back and more of the normal style the setups that we have for our podcast, breaking down each round more. So yeah, anyways, thank you guys so much for tuning in, and check out our YouTube actually. Before I end this podcast here, our YouTube has like a lot of gaming stuff we normally used it for, but using it more for our short clips now, and especially once we get guests on the podcast, we'll have I really want to get like three or four segments with those guys talking about whatever it is at the time. Have those up on our YouTube. Like I really want like a 5 or 10 minute segment in between there with all of our guests. And right now we have three different guests up there on our YouTube from the podcast. We have John Gruey. I think we have one with John Gruey, a couple with Joey Crown, I think like three actually with Joey, and we have two with Jacob Hayes, I believe. So definitely check that out, and I want to be putting some more up there for sure. And even with the ones that are just me and Dean talking, I know we talk about some crazy stuff, and I get going on my rants and everything. So I know over the first 18 episodes, either me, Dean, and there's been a few different people on the podcast, I feel like we said some interesting shit for sure that deserves to be up on there for sure. So yeah, we got that. And talking about our YouTube, once we hit 1,000 subscribers, we're quite a ways away from hitting that. I think we're at like 118 right now, but once we hit 1,000, one of our subscribers will win a set of Prism Designs graphics for their bike, and kind of like a custom Prism Designs / Moto247 set of graphics for their bike. So I really appreciate it if you guys go over to our YouTube at Moto247 and hit that subscribe button and tune into some of our videos there, trying to get monetized. And man, YouTube kind of sucks for getting monetized, because you have a shit ton of watch hours along with 1,000 subscribers. So definitely gonna be wanting to put up some more content, obviously just in general, but to be able to get that as well. And definitely wanting to get some more subscribers. So I feel like I'm a YouTuber saying hit like and subscribe, but honestly I'd really appreciate it if you guys would go over and hit that subscribe button. Anyways, thank you guys so much for tuning in, and peace out, guys.